Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Okay, if we're giving random shout-outs to Chicago radio shows, Parkins and Spiegel, obviously the best.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're trending the right way. We're certainly not where we need to be yet. The last couple times or so through the starting rotation has gone very well. The bullpen depth has paid off. You saw it yesterday when we were without, you know, Hendricks, Bummer, and Graveman yesterday, and we were able to turn to Ruiz, Lopez, Foster, and Souza, Burr and Souza and Foster to get it done. That has been a strength so far this year. Offensively, we haven't quite been where we expect ourselves to be. Certainly the injuries have played a big role in that, in getting Monkey back today and hopefully Andrew Vaughn back here in the next week or so. And at some point in the not too distant future, Aloy back as well will help all that.
Played like tonight, pitched like tonight. You know, we got to be better than that.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on the Score.
That was from Cap's new show, Unfiltered, with at NBC Sports Chicago. His guest, of course, Rick Hahn, who you heard there. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. Tom Hamilton, the voice of the Guardians, will join us. 31-year big league broadcaster will join us in a couple of minutes. There's a lot I still want to unpack from like that game and the state of the White Sox, the team in town with the highest expectations right now. Do you really think benching Tim Anderson is where we are?
I really think making him pay for the defense in a way that will increase his focus is necessary. And I don't know that Tony's got that in him, with him, as he came in to be a coattail rider on the culture and make it work. And they love each other. And I don't know that Tony has the passion and presence and energy to be that kind of disciplinarian.
But does that happen elsewhere? Like more than pulled from a game for a mistake, maybe a one game sit. Like, I don't really see prolonged benchings in Major League Baseball of stars.
I'm not saying prolonged, but you know, I'm old enough to remember Bobby Cox going out and pulling Andrew Jones from a game in center field and how that mattered for the rest of Andrew Jones's career. And he said so. You know, like things like that. A texter saying, Spiegs wants Billy Martin to be yelling at Reggie Jackson in the dugout in a Saturday game of the week. All right, yeah, so I know the world has changed. I'm aware that the world has changed, but you got to find some way to get in the man's head. This is out of control, man.
He's just a very, very good baseball player. He's an awesome hitting shortstop. There are so many great defensive shortstops. Like, he's not a bad defensive player. This is a bad stretch.
He's a sloppy defensive player.
Yeah,
And he's not. I mean, even there was a pivot on. It wasn't going to be a double play ball, because it was hit so soft to Moncada, but there was a pivot that TA makes. It was so damn slow. I'm watching it and it's like, oh God. A texture says it could be that Tim Anderson is the White Sox Nomar Garcia Para. And that is a reference to 2004 when Theo decided to trade Nomar Garcia Para for defense. Orlando Cabrera became the defensive player.
That is such a gross overreaction.
Doug Mintkiewicz became the first baseman. They proceeded to field the ball that Derek Lowe and other ground ball guys threw and lead the Red Sox to a World Series title.
I'm old enough to remember last year what happened to the White Sox lineup when Tim Anderson was out. He is the heart and soul of that team, man. He is the engine of that team.
I'm not saying trade him. I'm just saying I understand. Like, the idea of having a great defensive shortstop and making TA play second is a really good one, frankly. At this point,
I don't know.
Didn't happen in the offseason, but I know there were some people calling for it.
I just think that he matters so much to the team and the makeup of it. Like, how does that hit you guys? Watch every inning, diehard White Sox fans. How's that hit you?
Try to look at it objectively, and I remember that vividly, the Garcia Parra thing, and I remember watching O-Dog, the other O-Dog, Orlando Cabrera, with the White Sox. Like, he helped solidify that 08 team and give them a bit of an edge and solidify them defensively. It's a good player. It was the right move for that team at that time. Mm. That doesn't mean it's the right move for this team at this time, because as Danny said, when they don't have TA at the top of the lineup, they are dead. Like, I think he has one of the best offensive approaches, if not the best, in the lineup. And I know
I love him as an offensive player. So I love his passion. I love his presence. I love his interviews. I love all of that about him.
The greater good with him is so much more than his erratic start of the season defensively. And you've seen him make strides pretty much the last two or three years about being a better defensive player. But I know there's still these things that pop up. Oof. And these are things that can be corrected with an attentive coaching staff.
Shouldn't they? That's the problem. These things need to be corrected. And I don't get the sense that there is any sort of accountability or teaching or attentiveness going on to these things. Like, we dropped the ball, because Lord knows it happened last year. And it's happening again.
I'm with you. I'm with you to the extent that, like, that game, that's a loss that can linger. It was ugly. They've made way too many defensive mistakes this season, and the defense has been bad. And I will also grant you that it is a product of organizational impact or focus and priority.
I'll
concede all of that. But man, Tim Anderson is such a huge net positive for the White Sox, and I believe that he will be for this year's team, that any sort of like overreach or overreaction to discipline or make an example of TA, I think that could very, very easily backfire.
Well, but he's a strong enough person that it shouldn't, right? And your clubhouse culture should be strong enough that it can handle it.
But he's a big part of the clubhouse culture.
Okay, well, remember, but Tony's supposed to be a guy who doesn't mind if people hate him. Doesn't mind if it's the right thing to do. He's happy to let people hate him. Remember we heard that line?
So we're on Tony's side now?
No, I want him. I want somebody to take control of that coaching staff and take control of the room and make players like that, even if they're stars, accountable for mistakes like that, which freaking doom you. They just doom you, and he's done it over and over and over again this year.
Yeah.
Just so many. By the way, errors since the beginning of 2017 after TA signed the contract, and I love TA as a player, I really do, but he's made 90 errors since the beginning of 2017. That is 30 more than any other shortstop in MLB. Anybody. Brandon Crawford is next, and he makes a ton of great plays for the Giants. Rafael Devers is the only player in Major League Baseball who's made more errors than Tim Anderson since the beginning of 2017. And the thing is, it has improved. The range has improved. Some of those new metrics where they measure this stuff had said that it had improved. But then this year is worse than it's ever been. And I don't think sitting him down for a day and making him feel it, you know?
I just don't know that it's sitting. Yeah, I don't.
I'm not talking about any prolonged benching.
I don't think Tim Anderson's going to feel any pressure or discipline whatsoever unless there's somebody playing shortstop that's got a legitimate chance at replacing him. There's nobody on this roster.
You don't have anybody on that roster.
Exactly. So there's all you're doing is pissing him off.
I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, you're going to give us a less chance to win by putting Danny Mendick out there instead of me? Do you know who I am?
Yeah, you got to be careful the way you handle things like that when you talk about your leaders on your team, because this season is already teetering, I feel like, at this point, especially after last night. Like, I'm not going to make any grand proclamations after that game last night, because I do look at this measured, and I'll find out a lot about this team tonight. But if they lose tonight and then all of a sudden you bench TA, like, this thing could spiral pretty quick, in my opinion.
But there's a way to do that a good communicator and a good leader does, and I don't think Tony has it in him anymore.
That's what I mean. Where are they?
So, yeah, so they're a freaking mess, but a good leader and a good communicator sits down and says, look, I need to sit you down. I need you to understand that this is serious. I need you to understand that you have to work on it, that you're a great player, but you could be even better. You want to be great, right? Like, you have those kind of real, relatable conversations.
It's tough when he won't hold his own team accountable after the game. You know, talking about Cleveland, they committed errors too. They didn't play clean baseball. Like, you wouldn't even acknowledge the fact that your team played poor defensively. Not even one guy. Yeah. Just say, hey, the whole team played terribly defensively.
Gavin Sheets cost you a run early, and then those mistakes by T.A. and Moncada. What's that?
But to
say that the defense didn't cost you the game is not something a responsible manager should say. Tony's dead wrong on that after the game.
I assume that's not his message internally.
Better not be.
Because that would be ridiculous.
Right? Wouldn't that be ridiculous?
That would be ridiculous. But that's the other thing, though. Like, the players are not dumb. Like, they know that you have to execute a throw from short to first. They know you have to catch a fly ball, even though the wind was insane last night. Moncada knows he has to field that ball. Like, one of the oldest, like, managerial leadership tricks in the world is defend the guys publicly and then admonish them behind closed doors. I'm just saying, that's managing 101. I don't know if that's what Tony's doing there, but, like, I was just like, T.A., you said since 2017, right?
Yep.
In 2018, 3.7 WAR, then 4.2 in 2019, then 2.3 in 2020.
That's overall, right?
Four 4.8 2021.
Net positive. I don't want to trade him. I want to sit him down for a day and try to have a real conversation and make him accountable. And then long term, I'd rather have somebody else at shortstop. I've come to that for sure.
Man, there is a lot of reaction to a real tough loss in the White Sox world. I'd imagine on the other side, that was a lot more enjoyable. Legendary voice now of the Guardians. I was about to say Indians. Tom Hamilton with us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tom, have you made the Guardians-Indians mistake since the name change?
Oh, you know what? I'm down to every other inning now instead of every inning. So it's a process, guys.
that actually makes me feel really good that a legend such as yourself has made that mistake. I imagine last night's game very enjoyable for you because it has been downright painful for White Sox Nation.
Oh, guys, really, it was just kind of a ho-hum night. Really not that much. I mean, it's only the second time in 40 years that Cleveland has come from 6 down in the ninth inning. So, you know, my first partner was the iconic Herb Score, and when we were losing 105 games in 1991, Herbie would always say, hey, look, you don't let the record impact your broadcast. Once that game starts, nobody cares what the records are. And always remember, you're going to come to a ballpark and you may potentially see something that night you've never seen before, and you may never see it again. And, you know, quite honestly, guys, you can use that for last night's game for both ball clubs. I know Chicago hopes they never see it again. And I can only really equate it to one other game that I've been a part of, and that was in 2001. Going into the seventh inning, we trailed Seattle 14-2, and that was the Mariners team that won 116 games. And we rallied to win that game in the last three innings, down 12 runs after six innings. So last night to me was similar to that, but I'll be honest, and that's why I don't bet, but I'd be homeless today if I was betting on last night's ball game starting the ninth inning.
Tom had a chance, and we've talked about it before, to be there with those 90s Indians and see that team come together and become the kind of the juggernaut that they were. But now you've had a chance these last, God, how many years is it for Francona already in Cleveland? It's more than he was in Boston. I know that. It's a long time you've had to watch Terry, and other people talk about him as a leader, as a communicator. Have you seen him talk to veterans about defensive issues or other issues and kind of hold veterans accountable? He seems to have a really good flair for communication in that way, which is frankly very rare.
Yeah, I think that's the great separator with all the great managers. And, you know, for Tito, you're right. He's been here longer than he was in Boston. It's his 10th year in Cleveland. And last year was his first losing season. And that was an 80-82 ball club that was decimated by injuries and also didn't have Tito as the manager for much of the year. But I think they're great managers. It's why Tony La Russa's in the Hall of Fame. Tito will be someday. They create a culture, guys, and that culture starts in spring training. And every year it's different from the standpoint of the personality or the identity of your ball club. And that always takes a while. Even if you bring back everybody from the club, you know, like Chicago for the most part, has everybody back from a year ago, and they've obviously added some really important pieces, but it still takes time to forge that identity from year to year. And, you know, those great managers like Tony and Tito and Joe Maddon and Bob Melvin and, you know, the ones that we have seen, they have a culture, and it begins with communication. Players always know where they stand. I don't know how Tony does it, but he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. But I know, for instance, with Tito, the night before, like if some regular is not going to play the next day, they tell that guy the night before, because Tito's belief is if you're giving a guy a day off, he needs to wake up knowing he has the day off so he isn't mentally preparing in the morning for that day's game. If you're giving him a day off, physically is one thing, but give it to him mentally as well and not surprise him when he gets to the ballpark that night. And so, you know, again, communication and the kind of culture that Tito has created in Cleveland is why this is a ball club that, even though it's never going to be up there with the big boys spending wise, it'd be pretty hard to argue with what Cleveland has done in the 10 years Tito has been running the show.
Do you remember 2017, Tom, when they got off to such a terrible start?
Yep.
And Tito turned things around. I remember hearing about that. Like, didn't he bring players in and say, let's talk about this? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Like, there was a big shift that he was a part of in the middle of a year like that.
Well, there's always constant communication. And Tito's not a big guy for calling a team meeting and then screaming at guys, because, as Tito says, the only guy that feels good about that is you, the manager, because you just got some frustration off your chest. But he goes, it doesn't necessarily do any good. But you've got to remind guys, you know, that this is a daily process. You can't get too far ahead. And to your point, in 2016, when they went to the World Series, that club set a record winning whatever it was, 13 in a row, that kind of separated them from the pack. And, you know, in 2017, we had signed Edwin Encarnacion in the offseason. You had that ball club back. And we came out of the All-Star break, had an awful road trip to the West Coast, had like a game or two-game lead over Minnesota. And the club just looked really lethargic, and they did hold a team meeting. But it was more so not just Tito, but also the players, who at that point said, hey, guys, we got to start making things happen here. We can't wait around and think we're going to win 13 in a row again like we did last year. Well, lo and behold, they won 22 in a row. And I thought the 2017 ball club going into the playoffs was a better ball club than the one the year before they got to the World Series. But, you know, they got upset by the Yankees in the first round, and so it goes with playoff baseball. But Tito is great at communicating, and I think it's more than just holding a team meeting. Holding a team meeting looks great to the public, guys, but, you know, the good managers know how to keep communicating with players so you don't get to a point where you feel like, holy cow, we don't have a team meeting. You know, this thing is going to get away completely, because the team meeting doesn't always guarantee that you'll start playing well. But again, he'll hold them if he feels like guys are not playing the game the right way and playing all 27 outs. I think that's the big thing with Tito. Play all 27 outs, and that's what happened last night, and you saw the end result.
Tom Hamilton, the legendary voice of the Guardians. It was a crazy game. It's one we'll remember for a long time. Wanted your perspective from the other side. Thanks for hopping on for a few minutes, Tom. We appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me, and have a great summer.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
You as well. Too. We'll talk down the line. On the road.
Can you hear? Down the line works. You're good.
Yeah. It'd be fine.
Can you hear my managerial envy? Does it come out?
Yes.
Pretty obviously.
It does.
I've always had it.
Yeah, I know. You got a Francona situation happening over there. I don't know what it is.
I had it even when Madden was here.
I know. I've talked to you. I've heard that conversation. Didn't he used to do that?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Didn't Tito used to do that one time? I heard he did that.
It's funny, you know, 10 years. I can't believe Tito's been there 10 years. The same offseason the White Sox hired Robin Ventura.
Tito was
out there and available, and he's still there.
With White Sox roots, too. Oh, my God. Former Birmingham Barons manager of Michael Jordan was available.
So
that just broke my soul, and I'm not even a Die Sox White fan.
We're going to have Joe Ostrowski in 20 minutes. We're going to have Valus Jones at 5 o'clock. But one of my best friends is in a very unique situation that I feel like none of us can relate to, and I don't know that anyone in our audience can relate to. And I've honestly never even talked to him about this component of it. What's it like to be attacked on the internet by someone with 20 million followers? Kevin Durant hates Nick Wright. He hates him. He reads his tweets. He consumes his content. And then he trolls him over it. Nick watches every NBA game. He knows a ton about it. We'll talk to him about the NBA. But also, what the hell did he do to get on Kevin Durant's bad side? Next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I'm sorry about this afternoon. Please, everyone be quiet.
Afternoons on The Score.
I'm sure all of our Chicago viewers, listen to the Parkinson Spiegel Show on a nearly daily basis. I've known Danny Parkins for 20 years. It's a great show, and I listen to this full interview. And I want people to understand that Hub Arkish's biggest issue with Rodgers is not vaccination related. It's actually off-season related.
Mutual Admiration Society. He's a fan of our shows. We're a fan of his. He's Nick Wright. First Things First. Fox Sports 1. He's on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Watches every NBA game. Has an encyclopedic knowledge of NBA history, past and present, really. But today on the internet, he was attacked by Dan Le Batard, Amin El-Hassan, Zach Harper, and Kevin Durant for a number of issues. That's a busy day on the internet. What's up, Nick Wright?
Do you see who attacked me yesterday?
Dude, I lose track of all of your beefs, honestly.
George Carl.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, you got Georgie back. You said, I'll get a job with a team before you, Georgie. I thought Georgie was a nice touch.
Yeah, and then he said, he was like, oh, you work in sports? And George Carl made a joke about my appearance, which is just like an odd bridge to walk down if you're George Carl. But in the joke, he said, I thought I was talking to Tom Green. Okay, heard that one before. Or Adrian Brody. Or did he say Adrian Brody? No, he didn't say Adrian Brody. Who's the guy in the movie called Divorce? Oh, God.
Adam Driver.
And then it was brought to my attention that Adam Driver this year came in second place for sexiest man alive.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Driver is a nice comp for you, buddy. Congrats.
Yeah, like, I'll take it. So I just, but George Carl I could deal with. The Le Batard show thing was odd because I don't want to go all full out on this because I don't know if he was serious or not. If Amin's serious, then it's going to be a problem for me because I'll be very upset. but I also don't want to assume he was serious. He accused me of stealing something from him. And how do you put this diplomatically? He accused me of stealing something from the midday, I think a couple day a week, Sirius XM NBA radio show he does with Zach Harper. I think that's where he's saying I stole it from. In order to steal something, you have to be aware of it. And so that, I don't know if he was serious or not. Levitard's my guy, so I'll clear that up tomorrow with them. The KD thing, I can't tell if KD wants to punch me or kiss me.
Well, that's his brand, though, right? That's kind of KD's thing.
He's like, always on the internet. He's always in his feelings and his burner accounts and his mentions. And that's honestly, I think, the most interesting one to the audience, because the other ones are like media beefs or whatever. That happens. Kevin Durant is internationally famous, worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and has 20 million followers. Like,
yeah,
he is punching down at you. What is
punching across. come on.
But like, what is it like to have Kevin Durant in your mentions calling you Little Nicky?
Well, it's not great when you're about to take a nap. So right. I had just eaten a giant Chipotle burrito. I have had a long, already, it's only Tuesday, I've had a long week. There's a lot of things going on. And then all of a sudden, I glance down at my phone, and I get a text. And it says, KD's going at you again. And I'm like, I didn't even say anything about him today. So I look, and I'm like, God, dog it. But I, of course, have to respond. But then and then he played a very interesting card, which I think he thought was the Trump card, which is someone said to him. So the gist of it is, if people weren't on there, I did a thing on the show today. This is the gist of all of it. I did a thing on the show today called Club Superstar. It's the NBA superstars as a nightclub, meaning one in, one out. So if you're going to call former Chicago Bull legend Jimmy Butler a superstar, you got to tell me who he's replacing in the club. Like, is Dame Lillard out? Like, who's in? I know Bulls fans. You want to say, you know, Zach LaVine's a superstar? He's probably not. Not if there's only 12 of them, right? So that was the gist of it. So Amin thought I stole that from him, which I didn't. And then Kyrie Irving was not there. And on the TV show, when I was asked about Kyrie Irving not being there, I said a lot of things, not that nice about Kyrie, but one of them I said in the image, because I had a painting made of Club Superstar, commissioned a piece of art. That's the type of the work I put into my television show, commissioned a piece of art. And KD is in the club on the couch on his phone. And I said during the segment, I said, KD's texting Kyrie telling him how whack it is here, that he wouldn't want to be here anyway. So someone tweeted to KD that I said that and that they bet he laughed. He said, I didn't see the segment, but I'm sure it was trash. You could do Nicky's job. And then someone tweeted to him and said, hey, man, like, why are you being mean to Nick Wright? That's not nice. And he, and this is where he thought, I think it was the Trump card, he was like, Nick makes millions of dollars. Anything I say about him is fair game, right? And it was clearly he was trying to be like, you see, like, that's what they say about us, but it's not true. And I just responded to him. I was like, you get it. That is absolutely correct. Like, yes, I mean, the millions of dollars may or may not be accurate, but the fact that the idea that I am a public figure, and if you want to rip me for something I do in my professional capacity, is totally fair. And I just think, like, I think KD, you know, thought, see, now that you're getting what we get, how do you like it? And my answer is just fine. I mean, it's annoying. I understand that part of it. Like, I did want to take a nap, but I...
Yeah, so but your pillow is $100 bills, so you're fine.
Right. Yeah. And so that's kind of KD's... I think KD's point is, like, hey... We're all people.
Yes.
But my response is, yes, we are. But to steal a line from our old colleague, Laszlo, with Danny,
yeah.
If you don't want strangers to attack you, you can always just go work at, you can always go work at Home Depot. Like, nothing against people who work at Home Depot, but no one's walking up to the guy at Home Depot and being like, hey, you suck. Your opinion sucks. You know, all these things. Like, part of my job, and to a greater extent, obviously, part of Durant's job, and one of the reasons that it pays well, part of your guys' job, is you open yourself up to public ridicule. And, like, you can't whine about it as a grown-up.
It's one of my favorite of the four agreements, the ancient Toltec wisdom I've always been trying to share with Danny. Don't take anything personally. It's just not about you, man. Right? It's like, and that's what, and KD would be better off if he didn't take things personally like that. It was like, it's just people judging a basketball game and things like that. We all get up in our own heads. You can't have it. So doesn't it make you... Doesn't it make you more empathetic towards athletes when it happens to you like that, Nick, on some level?
No, it makes me less. Here's the thing. It makes me less.
Oh, that's not how it's supposed to work.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Because the idea that Twitter or social media ridicule is this crippling thing that, oh my God, you don't know what we as, you know, the celebrity athlete elite go through. I have a pretty good idea of it. And you know what? Not that bad. Pretty easy to ignore. Not mandated. You cannot hear. Here, you know what I do? I only see mentions from verified accounts. Sorry to anyone out there. There are very, very nice people without verified accounts. But there's so much toxicity, you know what I mean, in the anonymous account bin that I just don't check it. So, like, when KD comes at me or George Karl comes at me, I see it. But no, I think that this idea that there is, that it is just mentally, oh my God, you don't know what a toll it takes on you, I think that's nonsense. I think that if you have a big boy job with a big boy salary, there has to be some negative. It's not, nobody gets it all. And one of the few negatives for my job is I am out there every single day for people to ridicule. It's actually one of the similarities with my job and Durant's job. It's one of the only negatives. And if you spend your time bitching and whining or arguing with you have 20 million followers. Any moment of any day, you can find 150 that are calling you an a-hole. Spending your time on that is, to me, immature.
Yeah.
And if it's not immature, it's at the very least unhealthy. So no, it doesn't make me, I don't have more empathy. I think people need to grow up.
Amen. There are a lot of people with way smaller platforms than you or KD that could hear that advice and be much happier people.
We're hearing a lot from people who work at Home Depot who are angry at Nick because
of course
they get yelled at all the time, man. Somebody goes in there, it's like, dude, you sold me some lumber. This crap didn't work at all.
No, that's true. No, that's true. And I wasn't trying to sound, what I meant was, if you have a job that is not in the public spotlight, it is unlikely you're going to have someone you've never had any connection with whatsoever tell you what an a-hole you are. I wasn't trying to take a shot at people in the service industry. That's hard work. I think that we all, and it's the same, there's an element of some of today's athletes that I think fails to recognize that one of the reasons that the wealth and fame come is because people are interested in every aspect of you and have opinions on every aspect of you. You are not out here, you know, as a starving artist that no one is paying and no one's paying attention to. And whining about that part of it is unbecoming to me. That's all. Just like I shouldn't whine about it. I hate when the media...
100%. 100%.
When the media is like, oh my God, like when one of the athletes brought back in the media and all the other media cape up for him, like that's unfair. And it's not unfair.
So to be clear...
Kevin Durant, yeah.
So to be clear, Nick, Jason Tatum was allowed in the club this morning?
He got in.
He deserves to get in. That was monstrous stuff last night.
Devin Booker not in yet.
Okay. I think that makes sense.
30 seconds or less. This is an abnormal NBA playoffs. There are five teams that the odds say wouldn't be that crazy if they won the whole thing. Who's winning it?
Come on, Danny. Bucks over Mavs. I've been telling you for 2 months. You know, we have tens of thousands of dollars invested in it.
We do.
I am as red hot picking these games as possible. And you know what? Maybe George Karl and Kevin Durant are going to drive me out of the media, and I'm just going to go become an anonymous sharp winning millions of dollars, Billy Walters style, before he went to jail. That's where this thing could go. So I'm going to go Bucks over Mavs, the two best players in the league, Giannis and Luka, squared off in the finals.
It's Horalinick.
He's really not lying about that.
Yeah.
He's so on fire gambling on the NBA, it's infuriating.
I'm so hot. I retired from sports gambling and came out of retirement, and I'm like Jordan in 96, not in 95 when he embarrassed himself and then Nick Anderson ruined him.
I'll see you later. I'll see you later. That's Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. First things first. Joe Ostrowski. He gets hot gambling. He's next on The Score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
Afternoons on The Score.
Joseph, come on!
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Joe O.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Host of BetQL Daily on the Odyssey app.
What is he?
I believe he is American.
Yeah, but Polish name, Ski, huh?
God bless the Polish.
Host of Early Odds on 670 The Score.
Joe Ostrowski. Lots to get into with Joe.
I would like to let the record show that 1 week ago, Danny Parkins and only Danny Parkins bet on the Bulls to win the East. They've shut down the season.
Yeah.
Joe O.
Good Polish kid.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
On behalf of PointsBet, Joe Ostrowski is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Listen to him daily. Subscribe, rate, review the BetQL Daily podcast. What up, Joe O?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, I mean, I think the sports gambling thing might stick around and be profitable and popular. Our guy Derek Stevens bringing Circa into Illinois.
How about it? This is big. And we're not just talking about this because they are a sponsor of the station. And Derek Stevens is an awesome guy. And you have to go out to Vegas and check out the spot. Bettors love Circa Sports for big reasons. If you are a winning bettor, if you show that you have an idea what the heck you're doing, they do not limit you. In most cases, if you look around at futures prices, let's say like we talk about the odds to win the World Series or NBA title odds, any random golf tournament, they have a low hold percentage. They want to invite action. They want sharp money so they know what side to be on as a book. And a lot of sports books don't want to be there. And it broke yesterday that they are going to be entering the Illinois market, expected later on this season. There's going to be a spot up in Waukegan, American Place Resort, and that's where Circa Sports is going to enter the Illinois market. This will be their fourth state, Nevada, Colorado, Iowa, and then Illinois. So a temporary spot is expected to open at some point this year, and a permanent spot up in Waukegan within the next 3 years. It's going to have 100 table games, 1,600 slots. And the people involved, the CEO of Full House Resort, says it's going to be the best sports book in the Midwest.
Wow. So that's fascinating. And knowing what we know about Circa and the way they like to do things, I don't know, Joe, we had a nice time with the pools, like the multiple levels of pools and the outside and the giant. Obviously, from a weather perspective, that wouldn't work out. But I wonder if they'll do something to try and approximate the vibe that Circa has in Vegas, which would be really compelling for this state.
I think so. The quotes that were being thrown around is when people walk in, we want them to say, wow. It's not going to be that. It's not. I mean, it's up in Waukegan. It's not downtown Chicago.
Indoor pool. How about a wave pool?
Yeah, they're going to.
At the sports book.
I think they're going to want it to be a destination spot for people in northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin.
You know what? What's more fun for a water park? Hey, you bring the kids to the water park.
How many times have you taken that trip? It's in Danny's future. I promise you. And
that's
you're all going to get sick.
Right. So why not fuse the water park world with the sports book? Oh, my God. The millions to be made.
Yeah, and well, they saw Illinois a few years ago. You guys probably figured this out. Like, why is this guy Derek Stevens spending all this money on the score? Well, this was obviously the plan for quite some time. I would see them make public quotes like, hey, how about this this tax rate in Illinois? Can we get that down a little bit? And it did come down, and we had a new record in March. It came out in Illinois. The sports betting handle was $971 million, guys. $971 million. So we have the fourth highest handle in the country, trailing Nevada, New Jersey, and New York.
How'd the books do on the Derby?
Not as great as most people would think. I think a lot of people figured, oh, the books cleaned up because nobody heard of Rich Strike. Nobody was talking about this 21 horse. But speaking of Circa, I know they were saying that they were a net loser because some people got Rich Strike at 125-1. So you have a few of those tickets floating around, and you can actually lose some money. So not a big loss, but what a gambling story that one is. I mean, the shirts that were sold at Churchill Downs didn't even have this horse on there. A $30,000 claimer from last year, taking home the Derby at $1.8 million. A $2 to win ticket paid you $163.60. Okay, a $1 superfecta. I mean, 21, 3, 10, and 13. Over $320,000. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Bananas.
Yeah, so I always wonder whether, like, you know, not many people bet on it, but the ones that did really, really cleaned up. So it's kind of a mixed bag for the books.
Yeah. Longest shot on the board. It doesn't happen much. I was seeing that in all of the races this year leading up to the Derby, the longest shot on the board was 0-175.
Wow.
And then it happened here.
We've been talking a lot, Joe, about these NBA playoffs. As it stands right now, are there still five teams tightly packed in terms of odds, or have things shifted dramatically now that the Warriors are up 3-1?
Yeah, so the two teams up top are in the Western Conference. The Warriors are your favorite here at 2-1 over at PointsBet. The Suns, the second favorite, 3-1. Celtics right there, 4-1. And then a little bit of a drop-off to the Heat and the Bucks at +750. And, you know, the Sixers are lingering, guys. And I always try to make sure I'm not overreacting to what we're seeing. I'm not expecting this to be the version of James Harden that we see moving forward, but doesn't it have the feel that series was flipped? And now Lowry hasn't been doing anything. He was hobbling around out there. He's not returning tonight. And the Heat, their biggest strength, along with Butler, is their depth and their coaching. Well, where's that depth gone without Lowry? Duncan Robinson, nowhere to be seen. Tyler Hero wasn't doing great on the road. I expect him to bounce back a bit tonight. But at 2-2, they are the underdog because Miami has home court. It wouldn't surprise me if the Sixers come back and they end up winning the series. And they're 12-1 as the sixth favorite for the title.
And briefly, Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily on behalf of PointsBet. White Sox fans not feeling great today, but the books have reinstalled them as the favorite.
A favorite in the American League Central. Okay, so I need to know what was the list of White Sox bets that you made?
I bet them to win yesterday. Okay. I do have them. I have them for the pennant.
Oh no!
And then I have Luis Robert 18-1 for MVP.
Oh no!
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. I got losers across the board, Joe.
I've been considering the White Sox of late. They're 18-1 to win the World Series, guys. I still believe they're going to win that Central. Just get in, and we know if they can get healthier, that's the best number that I could find. At the start of the season, they were 11-1. Now they're 18-1. Start of the year, the win total was 91.5. Now it's 87.5.
18, important 18. Number in this for this show, and also for Jewish history. Hi, how are you? Yeah. So yeah, 18-1. Danny, get in on that if you want to keep winning Flens and influencing people.
Once they get to be 6-1, that's my number now.
By the way, Flens is a nice way to say friends. I like to say it that way.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily on behalf of PointsBet. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
I always like talking to Joe. And knows his stuff. What about that? Shane, should I pile on a little 18-1 action? What do you think?
No. No, you shouldn't.
Okay.
Well, if you do, don't tell anyone.
Oh, okay. But then it wouldn't be content.
Sometimes not everything has to be content.
Oh, consider
our hearts.
Right. And consider coming from you. You must really mean it. Because you're my everything is content kindred spirit.
No.
But not in this case. This Tom Brady story surprises me on a number of levels. Is he going to be good? How the hell is he going to earn $37 million per year? And why did he want to do it beyond the money? It's all coming up on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.